Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healing Circle. This is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And tonight we're going to be talking about the following topics. We're going to be talking about happiness is a choice and focusing on the basic good. So please feel free to participate or just listen if you have not pushed one to get into the queue. And with that said, let me welcome my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, David. Hi, everybody who's listening. I'm doing okay. I still have a bit of a niggly cough, so I do apologize in advance if you hear me having a little cough here and there. That's just part of winter here. Oh, well, actually, it's now spring here in Brisbane, Australia. But the Weebly germs are still going around, and I have little children, so I get exposed.
I'm sure you do, big time.
we've
got some illness going on here, too. Not me, but, you know, I am trying to ward off catching it because it's so easy to do when you live in a house with somebody else. We do have a caller that's called in, and let me just let that person know, if they didn't already hear, that tonight we're talking about happiness is a choice as one topic and focusing on the basic good as another one. And I'm talking with Kat Edwards, who's my co-host on the panel, and I'm David Clark, and I welcome you to the Healing Circle. And at a certain point in time, I'll come to you to see if you would like to participate in the discussion. But why don't we kick it off, Kat? Do you want to start talking about one or both of the topics?
Yeah, well, I want to address something first as we go into the topic of happiness as a choice. And that is when you cannot see any way of being happy. Now, I'm going to speak hypothetically here, but you, David, would have experienced plenty of people like this as clients, as I have in my practice, and that's people who are seriously under major stress because of circumstances at home or at work or somewhere else in their life, and there's toxic people around them. There may be domestic violence. There may be extraneous circumstances. There could be children, adult children who've gone into drugs. There could be people who've passed away around them. There could be a lot of extremely difficult situations. To turn around to someone like that and go, oh, hey, just be happy. It's a choice. That's a bit cold. That's not going to work. You know, if you're wading through the dark, and it is really cold, to turn around and say, hey, being warm and being able to see in the dark is a choice, people are going to go, no, it's not. I can't bloody see, and it's cold.
Right.
So we need to be sensitive, I guess, in regards to people going through difficult situations. And I just wanted to say, you know, we're not disregarding you. If you're listening and you're going through something very hard, we are not disregarding you. We are trying to help you by helping you to find a way to see the good and to see a reason to smile, even amongst it all, even amongst the hurt, the pain, the misery. There are reasons to smile. And in that moment when there is a reason to smile, the choice is there to smile or not to. And this is where we're at. So for for example, I work as a funeral celebrant, so I don't know what the equivalent is in the USA, but it's basically for people who don't have a religion, or they're spiritual and not religious, or they're agnostic, so atheist, agnostic, spiritual but not religious. Basically, those people there I cater to do funeral services for a non-aligned ceremony. So I don't do legal marriages, but I do all the other kinds of ceremonies. And as you can imagine, some of these people are going through some pretty horrific times. And you can't be turning around to them and saying, hey, just be happy. That's not the time and place. But they can stand there outside the chapel and see a bird fly away and hear its tune and have that beauty, that moment of beauty, and just stop of thinking about everything else and be in the moment with the beauty of the bird flying and its song calling and hearing it and feeling it. And you know, if you were deaf, you would see the bird. If you were blind, you would hear the bird. But you would know that nature is with you. Life is with you. And in that moment, you have a choice to smile and let the feeling of love flow through you just a little more, or not. And if you don't want to smile, that's okay. But to me, this is where the when you're at rock bottom, happiness is a choice. It is a choice to say, I'm going to smile at that thing of beauty and let it touch my heart, or I'm not letting that in. That's up to you. But even at rock bottom, you can still see and acknowledge beauty, and beauty equals love, equals warmth in your heart, equals a smile. And that is where happiness comes from. What do you think, David?
Oh, that's beautiful, Kat. I couldn't agree more. When I picked the topic, I was thinking in terms of how everything in life is a choice, and happiness is one of those things. I certainly agree that there are circumstances when happiness is eluding a person, and yet there are those moments, as you talked of, where you can get a glimmer of happiness, a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of something that lifts you up out of the deep well that you're in for whatever reason. I certainly have experienced that in my life, having had a bipolar disorder and living many years, at months at a time, in a prison of isolation, and just feeling like I couldn't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. The thing is, I didn't have tools then that I have now. And I can get down, as anybody can, but I found that in the course of a day, I can raise my level of vibration and I can become happy again. And it takes work. Nothing in life happens easily. But it is a continual learning experience. And I always say, you know, it's taking baby steps in the direction that you want to go. Feel the feeling, let it go, reach for the next best thought, feeling, or action. And I have found that action is a great way, as Kat was talking about, an example of being in nature and observing a bird or something like that. It is a calming influence. It's an influence that can get you in touch with the center of your being. It can get you in touch with something outside of yourself that's larger than yourself, and it can raise your level of vibration. And so I think happiness is something that is a gift that is available for us at any point along the way. It's just that to stay in that state for a long period of time can be a challenge, and certainly if you're going through the dark day of the soul, it's going to be more elusive.
Yes, And it is, you're right, it is elusive. If you're not choosing to seek it out, it is elusive. And, you know, it's hard when, if you've suffered, say, for example, depression all your life, it's hard to get yourself out of that funk and to turn around and say, I am going to be happy today. And one of the things that I prescribe to my clients is an hour of comedy every day. And now I specifically tell them, do not look at comedy that laughs at other people's mistakes or misfortunes, because that's not nice. That's dark comedy that is it's a cruel, mean and nasty comedy, and it's not going to help you to be happy. In the end, it actually it detracts from you, and you start to not like yourself because you're laughing at someone else's pain. So we'd be wanting to look at light, happy humor and take it in every day. Other people can make us laugh. I mean, you just have to look at reruns of Robin Williams, for example. You laugh your head off. It's pretty hard not to. That's going to get you out of that funk. So is exercise. Excuse me, I'm going to have to sneeze. Sorry.
It's okay.
So getting out of the funk is really about making a decision that you are going to laugh every day. I mean, you could be sitting there. I was going through a time where I had to walk away from family members who I dearly loved because relationships had gone toxic. I was gravely ill and just come out of operations. Suddenly I had to move house. I was going through that. And a boy I'd known since I was 11 died. And I couldn't go to his funeral. A hell of a lot of stuff went on. And that was a few years ago. But the choice was to suffer through it by allowing my emotions to run my life, or to get through it by letting my emotions go through me like a freight train, go seek a psychologist, someone who is who's legally bound not to repeat my words, and therefore I can trust, and also go find reasons to smile. And that's how I got through it, because we can find that our emotions will cause us to suffer more. So you may have a difficult situation in front of you, but by wailing and crying and flailing yourself about, gnashing your teeth, getting angry and carrying on, you'll actually cause yourself more suffering than if you just decide to piece it out, look at it clearly, find ways through it that's going to cause the least harm to yourself and others, and find a reason to smile. And absolutely, seeking comedy was one of the things that got me through. That and looking at the beauty of the world. And I know David was my friend while I was going through this. And I've managed to keep him as my friend, as I have several other people. If I had been choosing to be listen to my emotions and allow them to really create problems for me in my life, I may have lost a lot of friends. Because one of the things that you can do and you need to be aware of it is when you can be at risk of losing people in your life if you allow your emotions to destroy your life. So choosing happiness has a great many benefits in the long term, even though in the short term, which that short term may be a couple of years, but in the short term, you're going through a lot of pain. You can't, it can be like a virus, and you don't want to spread it to others. You need to find proper ways to deal with it.
I think that what you're saying has a lot of merit. I do find that true friends can handle most of what I have to put out. I do think you have to be very discerning with the friends that you choose to talk to about things that may be troubling. But I found that isolating is the worst thing that you can do if you're in a dark place. And it's very important to reach out. And as a matter of fact, I had a friend today who called me up and said, "I'm depressed." And I said, "What can I do to help?" I said, "How about if you come over here? I know that it will do you good to be with somebody else who loves you and who can help hold you in the light and make you laugh." And so she said she would come, and then she called back 10 minutes later and was waffling. I didn't manipulate her. I just reminded her that isolating is the worst thing you can do when you are feeling down. And so she said, "You know, I will come over." And she came over, and we talk to each other about how we're feeling in a given day on the Richter scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the worst and 10 being the best. And I had asked her when she first got here where she was, and she said she was a 4. When she left, she was a 7.5. And so I think that friends are very important, reaching out to other people to help raise our level of vibration. I once had another friend who talked about coasting through your feelings, and I liked what you were saying, Kat, about how if you cling to feelings of suffering, you're going to remain in that place. And I found that I can navigate through my feelings. I don't want to deny them because that's part of my human experience. But if I can experience them and let them go and then just keep reaching for what feels best next, then I'm going to be headed in the direction of happiness. And I would be interested in what our caller might have to say. Shall we go to the phone lines?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. Hi there, area code 585. What is your name?
My name is Jeannie.
Hi, Jean. Is there anything that you would like to say about happiness?
Oh, yes. You guys are absolutely right about isolation. I know from a personal experience, I got ill, and I wasn't able to do a lot for myself, and I didn't really have a support system, so I isolate myself because I felt so terrible about what was going on with me at the time. There was a lot of pity, but it can make things even worse as far as your health-wise and mentally. So you're absolutely right with isolation. Everybody needs someone to talk to.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Just reach out to the support system. I know that the era that I grew up in, as far as my upraising, you just didn't talk about it. And if you had a problem, my mother, you were able to go to her, but it wasn't comfortable because it was other problems. I know she was having issues on her own, and I just kept a lot of things to myself, and it didn't help the situation because it kind of drained me. Well, it did drain me, and it didn't get any better, and I carried that weight on for years and years and years. And then I started picking up different people's baggage also along with my own. So I've come to the point in my life I'm just letting go and moving forward without all the extra baggage, and I don't isolate myself as much. I think one of the things about isolation is being able to trust. It's so hard this day and age finding people that you can trust and talk to and leave it there. Because if you have to tell a person, you know, whatever we talked about, it's between me and you, then you shouldn't be saying anything to them.
I couldn't agree more.
Trust is
yeah.
the key. And I totally agree with you and with David that you need to be careful who you speak to about what's going on in your life.
Yes.
And, you know, that's why going and seeing a psychologist or a trained counselor, someone who is completely removed from the situation, who is legally bound not to speak about your life, is very, very helpful, because they're in that situation. And I've found with my own practice with my clients, when they come to me and talk to me about their lives, there's no judgment, and it's a
yes.
relief.
Especially
when they need to talk about somebody who's a spouse or a child, you know, an adult child or a parent, somebody who's highly significant in their life, and they've been holding back their true thoughts and feelings, and they couldn't tell anyone because of society taboos about having those thoughts and feelings.
Exactly.
To be able to go to somebody who you know cannot ever tell anybody else what you said, and just get it off your chest, it can then be a turning point for you, so you can start to be more happy. But having a true friend is really, really important as well. If you don't feel like you have a true friend, go seek a counselor. And at least be able to talk to somebody whose profession it is to sit and listen.
Yes, and I learned that the hard way. Unfortunately, it was a lesson. It was a lesson that taught me a lot. I didn't come totally shut down from it, but it opened my eyes a lot about who I can talk to and who I can't.
You know, there's one thing you mentioned, Jean, that I thought was very interesting, and that was you were talking about baggage and how sometimes you take on the baggage of other people. And it sounds like you're an empath, and I can relate to that. And I think it's very important in terms of me navigating through life and remaining happy to make sure that I recognize what is somebody else's shit and what is my own, and to not take it on. I can empathize with somebody, but if I take it on, then I'm not going to be feeling very good, and also not going to be in a position to really be helpful to the other person.
It was funny. Some years ago, I had picked up so much other people's baggage in a relationship also. And I had this dream where the bus was coming. I was taking a bus, and I was in this big field, and I was running, and the person ran and caught the bus and left me with his baggage without a handle to carry it. So I'm trying to carry my baggage, and it was actually suitcases. And he left me with the baggage, one without a handle. Mine's had a handle, his didn't. And I'm running, trying to get on the bus also. And I stood there and stopped. And when I woke up, I was like, okay, I got that one.
That's a good one. Well, the only other thing I wanted to say, and then I'll let both of you say one more thing, if you'd like, before we segue into the next topic.
Yes, thank you.
I'd like to underscore how important it is to get outside yourself. And You know, Kat's already talked about some things. What I find really works for me is music is a big therapy tool. Reading is a good escape, but it's also something that I can do to distract myself from whatever might be bothering me. I don't want to just, you know, pull the carpet over something that's festering, but everybody needs to take a break now and then from whatever's going on. I find reading is helpful, and I love nature. I love to connect with nature. It puts me at peace. I use it as a form of meditation. I actually like some of these things more than breathing meditation, although I do that too. And there are just so many wonderful things that we can do that will help elevate ourselves so that we can get closer to happiness, even if we're going through a time of trial. What do you think, Jean?
And you're absolutely right. And when you said that, music is my first love. I absolutely love music. So it helps a lot. I guess that old saying that said music smooth the savage beast. Soothe the savage beast. So it does help a lot.
What about you, Kat?
Well, I agree. The choice is, you know, if we go back to the original topic, happiness is a choice. The choice there is, do you choose to acknowledge the beauty in your life, or do you choose to reject it? Because happiness stems from love, and love is expressed in beauty. And I'm not talking about whether or not you have a beautiful body or a beautiful face or that superficial stuff. I'm talking about the perfection of nature, the perfection of a flower, a bee, a blade of grass, a warm sunny day and the breeze on your face. And it's a good segue into the next part of the show. But the choice is, do I acknowledge it and bring it into my heart and therefore smile and have a moment of happiness? And every moment can build and build and build. Whether you choose to, like David said, get into music, read, meditation, yoga, you know, good food, good water, listening to nice, clean, happy humor, getting out, seeing a friend who you can trust, going and doing something, having a break from the drama that's in your life. This brings you a moment of happiness. You can build on that. It's not like it's fleeting and it's gone. You can build on it. And the way that you build on it is you see the tiny things that make you happy as well as the big things.
Well, would you like to kick off focusing on the basic good, Kat, while you're going?
Okay. So, the basic good, some people don't understand what the basic good is, and that's fine. So I'm just going to briefly explain it. The basic good is always there, and it always has been there. It's never changed. Even in the terrible dark ages where there was a lot of murder and plunging and rape and terrible things happening all over the continental Europe and China, Indonesia, India, you know, where places were really being plundered, you know, a lot of warlords and darkness, the Middle East, ages, all of that. Even back then, there was the basic good. The basic good is color. It's blue, that's the basic good. It's pink, that's the basic good. The basic good is air that you breathe. That's the basic good. The basic good is that you have skin, that you have nails, that you have a body that you occupy so that you may live. That is the basic good. The basic good is that there is a floor under your feet, that there are walls. The basic good is that when you walk outside, the sun is there in the sky, and it's not in your lifetime or in your ancestors' lifetime before or after you, is it going to go away? The basic good is that we have a planet that we live on. The basic good is that there is grass to walk on, that there are footpaths, that there are other people who have kind hearts. The basic good is that you can have something to drink, that you can sit in a park and watch people stroll. That's the basic good. It's all around you. It's never going away. It's always going to be there. And when your mind is extremely disrupted, so say, for example, you're going through a hyper-anxious experience, the basic good is very important to remember, and it goes hand in hand with mindfulness. So obviously when we're mindful, we're taking everything in the moment. We're looking at the back of our hand and noticing every freckle, every line, every hair. We're just being in the absolute moment. Or we're looking around and finding five things that we can see that are beautiful. Or we can find five things that are the color blue, or five things that you could get a pencil and draw on, or something like that. That's mindfulness in its most basic form. And hand in hand with that is the basic good. And when we're choosing to be happy, we also need to choose to see the basic good, because it grounds us, especially if we've had a disruption in our minds and we're finding it difficult to focus. You might be going through a period of time where even you feel like your mind is against you, and you're feeling quite frightened. You can see the basic good all around you, and it can ground you, and you can plug into it. That's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. And the more that you see, there's the good, there's the good, there's the good, it's harder to see the bad as the big thing, because suddenly there's piles and piles of good all around you. And then that bad thing, it's not so big anymore. It comes into perspective, and there you can deal with it better. So it's an enormous tool to be able to recognize the basic good and then to work with it. What do you think, David?
Wow, that was wonderful. I think of the basic good as being the hidden blessings that you really have elaborated on beautifully, the things that we oftentimes take for granted that are there to support us and nourish us and pave the way to our ultimate happiness if we can focus on those positive things in our life. And I was thinking as you were talking about Oprah Winfrey, who asked people to keep gratitude journals and to write down a few things every day that they're grateful for. And if you do this, and I've done it myself, just to write down three things a day that you're grateful for, it's easy to come to mind. And you can add to that and add to that, and you'd be amazed at the number of things that you may have taken for granted that are for your good, that can raise your level of vibration, that can bring you to a place of happiness. I think it's so important to focus on gratitude. And, you know, we've talked about gratitude as an attitude before. But when I am grateful, when I feel that gratitude within me, then there can be no negativity that seeps in when I focus on that. And as you were saying, Kat, I think presence to the moment is so important. When I can focus on what is positive for me at any given moment in time, I am focusing on the basic good. It's just amazing how much goodness there is in spite of some of the things that seem so dark in the world. And, you know, we live in a dualistic world, a dualistic universe. There's light and there's dark. There's good and there's bad. But why focus on something that's going to make you feel lousy when you can focus on something that is going to make you feel better or good, if you want to call it that? Is there anything else you'd like to say before I go to Jean?
No, I think we've summed it up pretty well. I'd love to hear what Jean has to say about it.
Yeah, me too. Let me open up your mic, Jean.
Yes, you two are absolutely right. You focus on negativity, it just makes it bigger. It just feeds it. And you have to give gratitude. I mean, for the smallest thing that's going on in your life or that you have, the more gratitude I believe that you give, the more you get back. Sometimes we take for granted, yeah, that we have running water, that we can go open the refrigerator and grab whatever we want, or we can jump in our cars and go and come as we please. We just take so many little things for granted. My mother used to say years ago when she was living, she said, when you have your health and your strength, you're truly blessed. And if you look at young people, it's a lot of young people with a lot of disease or illness that never even heard of young people having diabetes at such an early age or being wheelchair-bound. And, you know, you're helping your strength just to be able to get up and get your own glass of water or walk to the bathroom on your own. That's truly a blessing.
I was thinking of good that can come out of challenging situations. You know, we have a hurricane that is headed for the Bahamas now. As I understand, it's a Category 5 hurricane. And, you know, I feel for the people there. I mean, it's got to be horribly frightening to be faced with that prospect. And yet, as I think back to other natural disasters that have caused so much pain and suffering, there's been a lot of good that's come afterwards from people that have stepped in and helped out and given food and shelter and have gone to search for people that they've saved their lives. You know, there is so much good that can come out of so-called tragedies. And, you know, I pray for the people in the Bahamas and wherever else danger may be lurking.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And here in Australia, we call them cyclones, hurricanes. It's the same thing in Asia, they're typhoons. In Queensland, in the state that I live in, we certainly get our fair share. And they're very, very destructive. But it's the kindness of strangers that gets people through. And, you know, we had a difficult year. Last year, I think it was, or early this year, we had fires and then we had floods. But people, you know, learn to look out for each other. We have a value of mateship here in Australia, and you might be complete strangers today. Tomorrow, a natural disaster strikes. You all come together, help each other out, sort each other out, get each other sorted so that you can function and until the insurance agency pays out on rebuilding. You might even get help rebuilding. And then at some point, everybody goes back about their lives, but they've my deeper connections. It causes a community to come together more and more. And the amount of friendships that have been developed as a result of natural disasters are quite amazing. Nature has her way. And in the entire time, you know, we've also got to realize, well, that's just part of being on this planet, and the forces of destruction and the forces of construction and creation are always there, and they give and take. But if you only focus on the forces of destruction, you will never, ever enjoy the positive outcome that may happen because of the force of destruction. Now, we've got trees here in Australia, gum trees, and I think that some gum trees are adopted. I know that there's a few that are used in the US because of their qualities. But some of these trees, the only way that they will reproduce is after a fire. They need to have their seed pods need to have gone through the extreme heat of a fire in order for them to open up. And that is an evolution that actually started, from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone who's listening, but the Aboriginal people who were the first people of this country were the guardians of, and they still are the guardians of the country, and they chose to light small fires as part of their work with the land, and so the land adapted to them, and then out of that new life sprang, and that is you know, everything in a nutshell. We choose to be happy, we choose to focus on the basic good, and even out of something difficult, even if it's something that's been deliberately happened, like a controlled fire. Now, we sometimes have control. We have burn off here in Queensland in winter. It's a dry season and it's cold, so that's when we have the burn off, and we burn all the dead leaves and all the dead grass. Probably happens all over the world that way. When we have it here, sometimes, occasionally, it gets out of control. What are you going to do? Deal with the situation, and then the good will come out of it at the end. There's always a silver lining somewhere, somehow. And if you can't see it, then just look out your window and see the birds, see the bees, see the little ants, look at the little bugs with all the lovely colours. Little beetles. Beetles are amazing. Go to the seaside or go to the country. Feed the birds. Go see some wild deer if you live where there's deer or kangaroos. Or go do something where you are connecting. And in that connection, you'll find the good.
I'd like to say two more things that have occurred to me. And one of them was when you talked about the silver lining cat. I was reflecting on my life, and I'm sure you can relate to this too, that today I have gratitude for things that I was not grateful for as I was going through them because they were so painful, and I couldn't understand the purpose at that point in my life. However, I've come to see where they've all brought me to my today, that I've learned lessons, and hence there's been a silver lining for me. And I really appreciate the person I am now. I love myself. And so whatever has come to pass that has seemed dark and despairing, I've come to appreciate that it's been part of the process of my growing, just like the fire is needed for the evolution of the trees. And the other thing is, and we've alluded to this, but ultimately it comes down to love. Love is what binds us together. I believe it's what makes the world go round metaphorically. And to me, that is the basic good. Jean, would you like to share again?
You're absolutely right, David. Without love, we have nothing. And I, you know what? I really appreciate you, Kat, talking about, you know, everybody coming together. It's just, and I truly agree with that. But I wish it was on a daily basis, not just when something happens. I just wish that every day we can all come together, and who doesn't have enough of one thing, and if we have some that we can spare just to help each other out instead of waiting until, well, it happens, and now I can help out, and then what happens next? You know, instead of everyone, I feel, instead of just doing it when something terrible happens, let's stick together every day. Let's help each other every day.
That's a beautiful point, and I think that that makes me think of how important it can be to do volunteer work, that's a way to help people out on a regular basis and to be of service to other people in whatever capacity we choose to do that or are able to do that. It makes us feel better too, and it helps somebody else. And so I thank you for bringing up that idea, Jean.
Thank you, guys, and I really appreciate you taking my call, and I really enjoy listening to you.
Oh, well, please join us again. And Kat, whose turn is it to do the meditation? We close with the meditation, Jean.
Yeah, it's my turn, I think.
Okay. Well, I'll turn it over to you then.
Okay. So take 3 deep breaths and sit comfortably or lay comfortably wherever you are. And on the 3rd breath, I'd like you to have your eyes open for this meditation. I should have said that first. On the 3rd breath, I'd like you to focus on something in the room that you're in that you like to look at. Something that you find to be beautiful. Now, if you're outside right now listening and that thing that you're looking at comes from nature, I'd like you to focus your mind on the great mystery of how whatever it is you're looking at that comes from nature came to evolve to where it is now, and that it has been born and raised near you. It is indigenous to the area in which you live, and it is native to you. You just stay there with that. If you are looking at something that is made by a human being, I would like you to sit and think about the creativity that went into that, the mindset that made that, the many hands that brought the parts of that together. If what you're looking at has multiple parts, the many hands and minds that created them. Where it was manufactured. The many hands that manufactured it. And the many hands that brought it to you. So it is now in front of you. And I'm going to leave you for a few seconds while you ponder the great mystery of nature and the great mystery of humanity. Now, as you've been pondering, you've been fully immersed in the basic good and didn't it make you happy? Didn't it make you happy to have your mind think about something else? Occupy your mind with thinking about the great mystery and the basic good.
Thank you, Kat.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jean. Please feel free to join us again. We're here every Sunday night, Eastern Time. I see that you are in the Rochester area. And please let other people know that we're here and that all are welcome.
Thank you. God bless you both.
God bless you. And good night and good day to all the listeners. And we'll look forward to joining you again next week at the same time.
Thanks, everybody.